Called My Testimony, and I hope that the miracle, there's a line in this that says, the miracle that I just can't get over is that my name is registered in heaven, right? I hope that that idea of the miracle of your testimony never gets old for you, no matter what it was. Maybe it was this crazy, life-changing experience in the middle of your adult life, or maybe you got saved as a child. It doesn't matter. Your testimony is there to share with others, and to meet people where they're at. And I hope that you're ready and able to do that when God prompts you. So let's sing this out.
Run for cover.
we can capture a little bit of God's holiness. Turn the computer off. There's something clicked there. If we can capture God's holiness, you know, really, truly, I mean, how different would our life, we live our life, you know? That's his hope for us, is that we would capture, you know, that he's seated on the throne, adoring him. This is a newer song called Behold Our God. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Let our life simply just adore him. So if you guys remember this one, sing it out.
Amen.
face of his holiness, it kind of sometimes reflects back to us and shows our weakness. And the world completely goes against that, right? They don't want us to show weakness. They don't want us to show... also want us to show his strength and everything about us, that I've got this, I can conquer this, I can't be down, I can't be out. But sometimes we have to be broken to be lifted back up. Sometimes God has to break something inside, something that we're holding on to, in order for us to move forward. It's not easy, and that goes against everything the world is telling us, right, that they're preaching to us, that you should be happy, you should be successful, you should be perfect. Those are all lies that Satan's using to capture people and keep them there, right? And not being able to see God, right? This is kind of what this song is about. Find me in the river, on my knees, on my face, with my soul laid bare. Then you can change me, right? Only in those moments, you know, can he change us, right? So if you guys know this, who's done this one a little while, just capture the truth that's here.
Everybody. Good? I'm doing good. It's been a long couple of weeks, and that's okay. And I praise the Lord, as I said, for even some of those trials. What they've done is they've brought me to a place where my dependence is very, very clear to me. And boy, oh boy, if you don't see that as a strength, I want you to know you're doing it wrong. Right? Like I need the Lord and all of his glory to come and to fix what I can't and to hold together what may fall apart and to lead me through the wilderness if I find myself in a wilderness place. Amen? And so we've been kind of praying, Lord, what do we do? Advent is coming. Like, I can't believe how many are exhausted that Christmas is almost here. Is anybody else with me on that? Like, I have 1,000 projects I kind of wanted to do. Okay, so nobody's getting them, right? Like, I don't think I'm going to get to anything that I wanted to do. And it's kind of interesting because I've been going, okay, Lord, this has been a hard couple of weeks. And where are we going with a series? Where are we going into this Advent? How in the world are we going to continue to focus on you in a world that seems so lost? And I've been so grateful for his presence. Some of you know that we had Sonny's funeral. And Sonny was a near and dear friend of mine. He's been a prayer partner for me since I moved here. Even when he wasn't attending our church, he was praying with me. And then he came over to the dark side, and he started to love some of the things that he was experiencing here as far as community and some of you people. And it's weird because some of you knew Sonny only to be a grumpy, crazy old man. Yes, he was, right? But his soft, squishy center is the thing that I had fallen in love with. And so I was grieving a friend. I had to go to Ontario, because of the generosity of a friend of the family, to see my mom, only to find out that she was very sick, right? And she had just gotten sick before I got there, and people said, oh, this is going to ruin your trip. That was one of the things my mom said, and I said, are you silly? I said, this is perfect timing, Mom. Relax. So I had one-on-one time with my mom, and I was a nurse, a chief cook, and bottle washer. It was kind of fun, right? Because I had such great time with Mom. And nobody, because they were all fearful, because we're still living in a fearful climate, don't make no mistake, right? So none of the aunts and uncles or were coming by to see her because they were afraid of death, right? And I don't care about death. So I was loving Mom, and I was praying with Mom, and we were reading the scriptures together, and I had my devotional book with me, and so we would have devotions every morning, which is something she's been missing since 2016, because when my dad passed, he was the one who led her in devotions every morning, right? So we were feeling this blessing when she would pass out due to being ill. I would go and fix dryers and move over washers. My brother kind of likes to do the minimum, and I praise the Lord for him, but he's right down the road, but I saw all the minimum that he's done. Praising the Lord for the minimum, but then I would do it right? So I was fixing some of the Sheldon projects, and I was so grateful for him being there for her, but so grateful for the time where I could do things a little bit maybe more final, if I can say that. And then I was going, Lord, I need you. I need you. I've been off. Allison is one of those, she's beautiful in this. She sometimes tells me things that I don't want to hear. Right? How many spouses can say amen to that? Right? She sometimes tells me what I don't need to hear. And she was saying, you know what? You need to just take this time. And you need to stay away. And when I was back sometimes for service, she said, I don't want you to come to service. And I have been carrying some burdens of praying for some healing for some people. And if you've never done that, I want to challenge you to push in. And that's a little bit about what today is about. I have been believing for miracles. It's been exhausting, but oh, so rewarding. And so I've been in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, there's sometimes in the Wesleyan world, there's some things that I push their buttons on. My name is known, not always for the best reasons. That's okay, right? God has called me with some of my sharp edges to stick people with sharp edges just to kind of shake them and wake them. And sometimes I wish I wasn't that way, but that's God has always gone before me in that. One of the ways that I've kind of pushed the Wesleyan world a little bit is in this idea of the person of the Holy Spirit. And because I've been so blessed by being in his presence, in this thick, incredible abiding with him, over the last few weeks, I was going, Lord, we need more of you. We need more of you. And if you guys have been in our leadership course, we go over some of these things, but who is the Holy Spirit? You know, and again, as a church, we believe, and certainly fundamentally, personally, my theology, I know that the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. right? And we go through this in our leadership course to try to explain to people God is so big and so beyond us, and that's why he's hard to understand. And so we came up with this term called the Trinity. You're not going to find it in the Word of God. It's a man-made term to explain something that's really unexplainable, all right? And we understand that God has revealed himself in different forms, distinct forms. We know of God the Father, amen? We sing every week of Jesus, God the Son, amen? And there's also God the Holy Spirit, amen? And so how do we explain that? Well, there's 1,000 ways. If you come to our leadership course, you'll hear a lot of poor examples of great theology. Like, there's no way to explain the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. So how do I do that? I kind of said, okay, well, I was born into the Maves family. Right? I knew it right away because the doctor slapped me and it didn't stop until I moved out. Right? And I learned respect and I learned all those things. And my mom and dad were Christians and I loved that. Although I didn't ascribe to it right away, I had to go on a little bit of a journey to find my own way to the Lord. Right? But I was born a Maves and my mom and dad treated me like a son. And they loved me. And sometimes that love hurt, right? Because there was discipline. Woo! My mama said, you're going to church. And I have this ear because I listened. Because she would take hold of that ear. And I was going to church. And I was going, okay, it wasn't a great moment, but I'm some glad that she pulled my ears now, right? And mom and dad disciplined me. And mom and dad loved me. And mom and dad comforted me. And mom and dad challenged me. And all the things that good parents should do. And I praise the Lord for my mom and dad. So they know Andrew. Right? And when Andrew was called upon, Andrew, come and give us a hand. Sometimes it was Andrew Charles, and I'd go, oh, dear Lord, protect me. Right? Because then it was serious. So mom and dad knew Andrew. Well, then I met Allison, right? And she met Andrew. But she thought of Andrew very differently than my mom and dad. She treated me way different than my mom and dad. And I got used to that. And I was going, I kind of like this girl. And this girl knows this Andrew. And we started a relationship. And we started to love each other in depths and ways that I didn't know existed. We started to care for each other. And were interested in ways that I didn't know existed. And you know what? She knew Andrew as well. But she knew a very different Andrew than my mom and dad. Right? And after Alice and I got married, then this crazy thing happened where they put a little girl in my hands and said, you did this. And I was like, ah! Right? And they said, take her home. And I'm going, I'm going to break her. Don't make me take her home. And they said, you're going to be fine, Mr. Mays. And it was weird because the first time I took him home, there was one time I was driving away and getting ready to drive away, and the baby seat was still on the roof. Anybody ever done that? And like people were looking at you strange, and then you just, oh, yeah, baby, right? So all those things. And then we had two kids. And then as I started to build this relationship with them, there was another love level that I didn't know existed until all of a sudden we had had our kids. But my kids know Andrew in another way, right? So Andrew had three different roles so far in his life, right? Mom and dad knew Andrew, but Allison knew Andrew in a different way. My kids know Andrew in a different way yet again, but Andrew is still the same guy. He's just known in different roles. Well, that's what we try to talk about when we talk about the Trinity. That, you know, God is God, and Scripture is very clear that he is one. But in all of that confusion, he has revealed himself in different roles that would be played out in our story. So he is God the Father, he is creator, he is ruler of all, amen? But praise him, praise him, praise him that he revealed himself as God the Son, as Jesus our Savior, and that he came to our rescue, amen? But then praise him yet again that he is the Holy Spirit sent to us, ready to lead us through our everyday journey. Amen? And we see that. We see that in Scripture, right? So we see it a couple times. I always talk about this again in our leadership course, that in the beginning God created man and woman, and in his image he created them. And so all those conversations of creation, right, we see God talking to himself, right? You'd say, well, is he talking to the angels? He didn't have to talk to the angels when it came to ideas of creation. Angels are below him. He didn't go to them for advice. He gave them orders, Right? So let us create man in our image. Who was God talking to? God was talking. It's so hard for us to understand because our identity is singular. But God was having a conversation with God. Just a little hint of the Trinity, right? And we see the Trinity unfold whenever we see the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, where we see Jesus coming ready to start his ministry. And we talk about this again during our baptism and our leadership course, that Jesus is baptized, prepared for ministry by his cousin John. He comes out of the water, and all of a sudden you hear this booming voice, "This is my son." That's the way I hear God. I don't know how you, I hope it's not, "This is my son," right? I don't hear him like Alvin and the Chipmunks. I always hear this distinct booming voice, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And it says that Jesus came out of the water, the voice from heaven happened, and the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove. We see three distinct roles of God in one beautiful picture that has so confused mankind that we came up with the word the Trinity to try to announce what we can't announce. And I said, who is this Holy Spirit? Because it's been a long time. Like, the Wesleyans are really starting to get used to preaching about the Holy Spirit, diving into the Holy Spirit, learning about the Holy Spirit. It's been something that they've kind of shied away from, and for good reasons. Like, we can go down the list of different things. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I have a very different experience than some of you, right, that were maybe raised in a Catholic church or a Baptist church. Woo! You think we were crazy, those Pentecostals, right? I kind of got out of the Pentecostal world, and I have some great reasons why I got out of the Pentecostal world, and I saw some of the things that I didn't like in the Pentecostal world, and then I got into the Standard Church. I saw things in the Standard Church I didn't like. I became Wesleyan. I see things in the Wesleyan Church I don't like, right? And that's okay, because it's not about denomination, amen? But we want it to be an understanding, and here is the deal. I want to spend a few weeks talking about the Holy Spirit because he is good. You need him. You need him in your everyday journey, in every struggle that would come. You need the Holy Spirit. And so I want to dive into that a little bit over the next few weeks and see who is this person of the Holy Spirit, this God of the Holy Spirit, right? And it was announced by Jesus, again, Jesus being all God and all man, who revealed the Son, come to our rescue. Well, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Now, it's kind of cool. He's introducing the Holy Spirit to the fellas who are around the table looking a little panicky because they know that Jesus is about to leave, right? What are we going to do without you? And he's going, calm down, boys. But make no mistake, the Holy Spirit has always been. If we look at the power of Jesus' ministry, we see the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry, and we see him waiting upon the Holy Spirit often, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that. But here's where the Holy Spirit is announced. In Acts chapter 1, starting to read at verse 4, it says, once he was eating with them, this is talking of Jesus, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's the announcement. And what does Jesus refer to this peace of God? What does he say? Okay, how does he explain this peace of himself? He calls it a gift. The Father has sent me to you. That's a gift. But there is another gift that is coming that he is sending you, and it's another piece of himself. I already know him. He's been revealed. He's helped me through my journey, but he is a gift for you. The Holy Spirit. And then we see the Holy Spirit arriving. And again, this sometimes makes people uncomfortable, but Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Think about that. building, right? You know, you've heard that. It's like, sounds like a chimney fire. If you've ever experienced that too, not so good. All right. Or a train. If you're near the train tracks and you're young and you have this challenge where you're holding on underneath the train bridge to see if you can hold the whole length of the train and you feel that. Anyway, it sounded kind of like that, right? Don't recommend that. Just experience that I've had before, right? And so it says, all of a sudden, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay? Woo! Well, some of you have been to services where things were going a little sideways and you were a little uncomfortable and you're like, let's get out of here. Right? Some of you would say, wow, I really like those services, and you know what? I want those services to never end. I wish that we would do a little more of that charismatic kind of feel. And okay, you know what? That's wonderful, right? Here's what I want. This is scripture. I want us to understand that sometimes supernatural things happen. Amen? Ooh, where's it going with that? The gift of the Holy Spirit showed up and they experienced something that was supernatural. And you know what? There was some in the room that didn't get it. Right? And scripture goes on to say that they were going, woo, look at those fellas. And they were laughing. They're saying, they are drunk. Right? You ever been in those services where you're going, what is happening? People are rolling on the floor, different things like that, maybe barking. I mean, I come from a Pentecostal background. I've seen a lot of different things. Some of the crowd thought they were drunk, and then Peter addresses them in Acts chapter 2, verses 14. He says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning, right? I knew some fellers started long before 9, but anyway, apparently so did the Jews, because Peter had to address it. It's only 9 in the morning, right? No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, listen, church, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit to all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders from heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. What do we do with that? You want to get a room pretty quiet, bring that up in a Wesleyan conference. Everybody gets pretty quiet. And they're kind of saying, okay, we're not dismissing any scripture. They're not. But they're starting to try to dive into a little more of these scriptures that have made people maybe a little uncomfortable. But think about this. Peter is saying, and he reminds us of the prophet Joel saying that the Spirit of God in the last days is going to be poured over you. Some of you may say, whoo, that's uncomfortable. Why? Because I'm choking on what I know about God. I'm choking on what I know about God. I don't want any more right now. That's fair. I lived there for a year when I argued with God, right? And it was very weird for me. I was overwhelmed by what I knew of God, right? But it says that the Spirit is going to be poured over us. And then you know what's crazy is we see when the Holy Spirit was announced, when God revealed himself in that form, we saw a new power available. Jesus was doing crazy, amazing things because he had the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see often when he waited upon the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has come to you and I. And the church, it was very interesting because in Acts, we see miracle after miracle after miracle. One of the first that's recorded is in Acts chapter 3 when the beggar is waiting to meet with Peter. Remember that one? And he's begging. He's saying, silver and gold, do you have any alms for the poor? Like he's doing one of those whole things that's kind of a Hollywood picture thing. And Peter stops and he gets excited. Woo! Here's the free cake. This guy stopped and saw me. And Peter looks at him and he says, silver and gold have I none. And you could see his little heart breaking. But Peter didn't stop there. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And the feller had the courage to stand. a feller who had been crippled, stood. What? Like, Jesus was the one who was performing those miracles. Jesus was the one that people came to see. Well, when the Holy Spirit was revealed, God come to us. We saw miracles in the church like never before, done by ordinary people, people like you and I. We saw a power. Incredible. And we learned very quickly that this was this Holy Spirit, this experience. It was something not to play with. It was something that was very, very serious. Why? Because I know these people named Ananias and Sapphira, right? And they saw how the church was gaining fame. And so what was happening was, is the Holy Spirit was asking people, you know what? If you don't need that, sell it, give to those in need in the church. Right? And so people started doing that. They started living generously, like crazy generous, like uncomfortable generous, right? And that wasn't normal because that wasn't happening anywhere else, right? It was happening within the church. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they were kind of wealthy and they had a couple of different things. And they said, you know what? Let's sell one of our properties and let's bring it and lay the money of the sale at the feet of the disciples so that they can distribute it. And you know what? We want to do that so that people will see us. They did it with a very poor motive, right? And in fact, it goes on to say that they held some of the money back. Oh, God won't mind. The truth was, is God wouldn't have minded. He wouldn't have minded if they had kept some of their own things, because God is not jealous and he doesn't need what you have. The problem was, is they were going to lie about it. And so Acts 5, we see how serious the Holy Spirit can be. Acts 5, starting to read at verse 3, they bring this money in and they do it separately. Oh, what a fatal mistake. Ananias comes first, right? And they say, here's the money from the sale. We're giving it all to you, knowing that that was a lie. It says in verse 3, it says, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Crazy things happening there. Peter, again, is speaking of the Holy Spirit, God, as a distinct person. And Peter knows what was secret. Where did he get that info from? Well, we know where he got that info from. He got that info from the one that he was proclaiming in the Holy Spirit. He said, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't it the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to God. Boom. Dead. Whew, that's not a happy story, right? Junior church, deal with that one, people. Right? How do you explain the kids that God is striking down people dead? Well, that's what happened. And then the story goes on to share that Sapphira didn't fare much better because she comes in not knowing what has happened, right? She's like, we gave all the money. It falls to the ground. And like Peter is saying, they just carried out the other feller. Like, what in the world are you guys doing? Wow. Anytime God starts striking people down, you better pay attention. We understand that it's important, amen? Here is the Holy Spirit. And his arrival, this new distinct person of God, changes everything. Right? Changes our understanding of God. It gives us new depth. It gives us a new ability, right? It was kind of interesting. And so it was given, he was given to us. He was going to be poured out upon us. And here's the interesting thing. If we were to do a survey today, I could talk about the Holy Spirit and have 10 questions that I could ask you. And you know what? Some of the spaces would be left blank because we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Why? If I was to do a survey of Jesus, you guys would need extra paper. And I praise the Lord for that. He's your Savior. We should be grateful. We should know. If I was to talk about God the Father, again, I don't think it would be nearly as big as the things that we know about Jesus, but we could probably tell a lot about God the Father. But then when it came to the Holy Spirit, those pages would be a little bare. Why is that? Right? If the Holy Spirit was given, announced by Jesus, for you and I to have along the journey, are we not doing ourselves a disservice by not partnering with him? Like, so here's a reality check. Church, Of all of the ways we know God, you should know the Holy Spirit the most. Ooh, that's a different thought, isn't it? Like, we should know the Holy Spirit the most. It's amazing to me, like, and here's the problem. Some of the problem is this. We are so overwhelmed that a God would love us that he would send his son, John 3:16. And all of our worship revolves around this idea, he saved me. He came for me. He came to our rescue. And so what do? We get saved and we look at the cross. And we are amazed and I have never known a love like this. And we get so focused on the cross that when God is asking us to do stuff, we keep our eyes on that beautiful moment. And that's awesome and that's great and we stand in awe, but we try to walk backwards. God is calling us to something and we go, you know, but Jesus, yes. But there was a reason why the Holy Spirit came. So that our journey could begin here. But that we would turn around, still grateful for the cross, but walk in step with the Holy Spirit. You see the difference? And yet so many in the church are here and they never leave here. So captivated by the cross. What a wonderful thing to be captivated by. But what are we missing out on? Our worship shouldn't be stuck at the cross. The cross was the thing that freed you so that you could move forward. And your relationship should be active and new each morning, staying in step with the Spirit. But some of us don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Like, this is not an easy message, is it? Right? He said, well, don't take any time off again if you're going to start doing this. Right? Well, I've been here. Yes, to be in awe of the cross, but to be in step with the Spirit. So the last 2 weeks, I've been in step with the Spirit, and I have felt so blessed and so amazed. And I'm going, your presence, it never fails. Your leading is new each morning. Oh, God. I've been amazed. It's been beautiful. And yet sometimes in the church, there's so many who don't know who he is. So this morning, this is what I want to do. See, it's going to take too long, but that don't matter. You shouldn't have a roast on this early in the morning anyway. I do want to do this. Let's go over a few things. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we already talked about this in Acts 5. He's God. He's God. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Why have you lied to God? Whoa. Okay, we understand that this deity, this is part of the Trinity, but I want to talk a little more about that. He is also Lord. Think of this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, right? You're no longer obscured your vision. When you come to the Lord, you can see. That's the whole deal. It's new life. You can see again. Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord is Spirit. So this, make no mistake, the Holy Spirit is God. Do you know him? What do you know of him? And if there's been anything that's held you back, why in the world are you being held back when he was announced by our Savior? The Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what else is the Holy Spirit? He is freedom. Wow. Like, if we take that word freedom, I could do a series on that, and I could preach for a year and go on into the next year if you wanted me to, because I believe in freedom. It's one of the things that kind of made me, you know, when I preach freedom in Christ, when I first started off the Wesleyan world, they weren't sure what to do with me, some of those old-timers, and that was okay. But there is freedom in Christ, and we walk in freedom in the Holy Spirit daily. Are you free? Like, talking about freedom, right? He is freedom. Romans 8:15. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves. You're not bound anymore. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you adoption and sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit sets you free. You're no longer a slave. The Spirit sets you free and now gives you the ability, gives you the confidence, gives you the authority to come to God the Father and cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. That is not a child that does not know who they are. That is a child that is experiencing an intimacy. Think of the picture of intimacy that we can call God the Father, Abba Father. That we can cry in his arms, that we can run to him in sorrow, that he will have your ear. He's not a dad that says, just a minute, just a minute, just a minute, or makes promises and says, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. Some of you have experienced those dads. Some of you are those dads. Stop being those dads. There's this beautiful image of freedom that we can cry, Abba Father. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's a teacher. John 14:26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, so this is Jesus talking, right? When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. So another word for the Holy Spirit is the Advocate, okay? I mean, we could be on this for a long, long time. I'm just trying to give you an introduction, and I'm sorry it's taking so long, but better listen. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. So let's put it in perspective. What is this distinct piece of God that has been revealed to us? God longs to teach you. You say, teach me what? Teach you everything. And if you think you don't need a teacher, well, you're already lost. You arrogant fool. Woo, it's getting bold. You need a teacher. I need a teacher, right? We need that to teach us everything. Are you kidding me? Think of the counsel that awaits you to teach you everything. And yet, you know what? If we were to do that survey, would we really know who the Holy Spirit is? Are you kidding me? He is your teacher. He wants to teach you everything. In your moment, in this time, in the chapter that you are living, the Holy Spirit is the part of God that you should know the most. Do you? He's your guide, John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, what a crazy name. Spirit of truth in a world where you get a lot of lies. Whew, I'm so... Allison's concerned because I'm really talking back to the news. I can't watch the news very quietly anymore. I think she wants to get rid of cable. It's probably going to be better for my heart, right? But here it is. But when he, the Spirit of truth, beautiful, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Can you imagine that truth? You know, and I have people, and this has happened just as soon as just last month. I was warning somebody. Somebody was looking for a fortune teller, a card reader. And I know them. And so I sent them a private message that was very, very urgent, saying, stop what you are doing, moron. Period. Please respond. They did. And they went, okay. I said, did I misread this? Are you looking for a fortune teller and card reader? And they said, yeah, I've just been stuck. And I said, dear Lord, do you want to be destroyed or do you want to find the way? And they said, I'm glad you called. I shared some verses they weren't aware of. The Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. Do you need that? Yes. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is a helper, Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Does anybody here have weakness? Oh, my land. I watch you. Everybody has your hand. Please put your hand up. You have weakness. I have weakness. We all have weakness, right? Does anybody have weakness? Wow, yes. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We did not know what we ought to pray. You ever been there? We just didn't know what to ask God or say to God or even bring to God. And it says the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit groan on your behalf? Because you'll never forget it when it happens. And if you've never experienced it, you're limiting yourself. See, here's the difference. I don't need to know what to say. I just need to know who I need. So I come before God and God groans for me. He is counsel and wisdom. Look at this verse in Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is the prediction of Christ the Savior coming. So think about this. This is how I know Jesus already had the Holy Spirit before he announced him. Plus, if you look at his life, there's a whole bunch of things. I don't know if we're going to get into all that. Whew, this is a bigger series than I thought. I just keep on writing it as I go. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, predicting Jesus. It said, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is understanding. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is knowledge. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the counsel for you. Who is the Holy Spirit? He will show you, reveal to you the fear of the Lord. Oh, that Ananias and Sapphira had caught that before it all came down. And here it was in Isaiah, but they weren't reading it. See what I'm saying? And Jesus himself relied upon the Holy Spirit, that counsel, that wisdom, that understanding, that knowledge, right? It says often Jesus went and got away to lonely places. What was he doing? He was calling upon heaven. He was being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was seeking guidance. If Jesus needed that, we better know who the Holy Spirit is. And you know what? I want to stop there. That's overwhelming. Like, I don't want us to be discouraged. I'm okay with you being a little overwhelmed. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Do you have him? I want you to think here, right? We've already established that we can't play with the Holy Spirit, right? That could turn out very, very bad, right? But how come we ignore or dismiss him? You know, we're captivated by what Jesus did on the cross. Do you know that our journey doesn't end at the cross? That is where it begins. Turn around and stay in step with the Spirit. Stay in step with the Spirit. Because too often we ignore the Holy Spirit. We dismiss him. We're captivated again by what Jesus has done. We're captivated by God the Father because he's the strong tower. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the one that we go to in times of trouble, right? But why do we miss the Holy Spirit? Francis Chan had a reason for that in his book, The Forgotten God. If you don't read Francis Chan, I would recommend you do. If you do, you'll understand why I recommend it. In his book, The Forgotten God, he said this. He said, it is true that God may have called you to be exactly where you are. That's a comfortable statement. You're in the presence of God. You're exactly where God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. But, he goes on to say, it is absolutely vital to grasp that he didn't call you there so that you could settle in and live your life in comfort and superficial peace. Whew, I am not moving from this spot. Yeah, you should. You see, the purpose, one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit as you get to know him is that he does bring you comfort, but he doesn't allow you to remain in the comfortable. If you remain in the comfortable, you have no need for the comforter. Do you see where I'm going with that? The Holy Spirit will actually lead you to places that are uncomfortable so that he can still be revealed in all of his glory and bring you comfort where there should be none. The problem is most of us are stuck in the comfortable and we ain't moving. Then you are missing out. The Holy Spirit working in the world? Amen. Is the Holy Spirit working in your life? I hope so. I was going to go on. I'm not. I can't. I'm not. The series just got longer. I'm going to stop there. right? So here's what I'm doing. I have tried to introduce you to God today. Now, that feels like a very weird statement, doesn't it? Because all of you are here because you've known God. You've listened to God the Father and received God the Son, and the Son has set you free. And what I'm saying is, don't end there. Let me introduce you to God. If that scares you, praise Jesus. Praise the Heavenly Father. And woo, I want you to know the Holy Spirit. If that excites you, praise Jesus. Praise the Father and this exciting one that you are going to investigate in the weeks that lie ahead of you will blow your mind and change your existence because we are living in the last days and he is being poured out upon you if you will receive. So all those who are leaving the church this week and going to the Baptists or the Catholics again, you know what, I'll miss you. But I want you to know you're invited back here next week because there is a depth, there is a depth, there is a depth, there is a depth that awaits you. Everybody stand. God has never been hiding. God is waiting to be revealed. Oh, that we would know him in all of his fullness. Let's pray today. Lord, for some people, this is not new today. There's others, this is terrifying. Holy Spirit, the other day when you've been prompting me to pray for healing, I know that there's some in this room that would never, never, never have the courage to do that yet. Father God, I don't want any of us to miss out on your goodness. Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to us? Holy Spirit, speak, guide, lead us to the uncomfortable. Who would we hear you? Would we have great anticipation for everything that you do? I love the cross. But Father God, let me walk in step with the Spirit. Spirit, where are you taking us? I know this. I know that we're living in strange days. And I will be led. Continue to lead the way, I pray. Lord, for all those that maybe this is new, I pray that they would find themselves speaking, desiring, talking, birth in all of us a desire for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo. God bless you. Jesus astounds you. And may you know the Holy Spirit more. Let him lead the way. God bless.